Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Michael Steele podcast. I'm having a blast. I don't know about you. This is my gin and tonic for the day. This is it right here. My lady friend, I love her to death, Lee McGowan. She is the politics girl. So Lee, you're in, and when I say this, I think you'll know what I mean. You are such a mom. And it is, it, you know?
Honestly, Michael, I take that as a complete badge of honor. Years ago, when I started doing my rants in the kitchen, I did one called America Needs a Tough Mom. Right. Because I was like, honestly, the country is at the point where it's like, I'm going to pull this car over, you know? And I used to say, I literally used to say to my son when he was little, when he would be behaving in a bad way, I would say, I'd say, come over here. And then I'd take his little arm and I'd hold his tiny little arm and I'd say, absolutely not. And I was very serious and very quiet. And then as he got older, I could look at him and go, absolutely not. And he would know. And then there was a kid just freaking out in a restaurant once, just running around. And this wasn't a kid with any special needs. It was just a kid behaving badly. And he was running all over the restaurant and jumping all up and down and making a noise. And my son, who was maybe four, he looked at me and he goes, that mom really needs to say absolutely not. And I was like, I know, right? And I think the country needs someone to say like, absolutely not. Like, we've had it. This is not working. We're not doing it. I'm sorry if you're upset. We're doing it like this now. And I think sometimes that's the vibe we all need, where we're kind of like, yep, you're right. You're right. I'm behaving badly.
That's exactly right. We do need that. We need a lot more of that vibe that you're just behaving badly. And the funny part is, you know, how you make all those narratives come into place and how you get them all to connect, to me, is the fascination of politics, girl, because your origin story, I think, really lends itself to two perspectives. One, a more broad perspective, is someone who is originally from Toronto, Canada. So you have that unique perspective of America. And then now, being so much a part of the political narrative for the country, sort of a go-to source for a lot of people out there. How first did your interest in U.S. politics kind of emerge? And then what was the moment where you decide to set that camera up in the kitchen and say, you know what, I'm just gonna lay these people out, because this shit has just gone too far for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is exactly it, isn't it? I mean, honestly, I do think the immigrant experience is something unique, because sometimes you really can't see the forest for the trees. I do think sometimes having just a little bit of perspective, I didn't grow up immersed in America. I bought into the idea of America. I moved to America because I believed it to be the land of opportunity, the home of the free, the land of the brave. I really bought the brochure. I loved America. I chose America. In fact, Canadians learn so much more American history than Americans learn, just by nature. But I moved here for what America promised. And then I was living in New York. I moved originally from Toronto to New York, and I was there during 9/11. So that's where I lived. The view from my apartment was the Twin Towers. And watching that city come together, watching the country come together after that event, really made me want to be an American. It made me want to be a part of this country, not just to admire it as an immigrant, but and as a foreigner and as a visa holder, but to really be a part of it. And I always say, which is funny because of course you're a very well-known Republican, I always say that 9/11 made me want to be an American, but the fallout from 9/11 made me into a Democrat. And it was the way it kind of played. Mm-hmm. Now, I am not, probably wouldn't be considered a progressive Democrat. I am definitely a little bit more centrist and moderate than that, more practical, maybe a little bit. I have great hopes. I always consider myself more of a liberal than anything. But when it really comes down to it, the country's gone bananas. I said that I bought into that brochure, right? I moved here believing it. And then when you get here and you really are immersed in it, you're like, oh, geez, we're not what we promised to be. We are not what we tell people we are. We have so many pitfalls and falls, and there's so many people that have no access at all to the American dream. And even the immigration process, you know, we talk about the immigration process all the time. I am an immigrant. How difficult it was for me to get here, I can't tell you. It was so difficult. And I am a white person. I speak English. I am highly educated. And it was incredibly hard for me to find a way to stay in the country legally. So I understand the argument that we need to revamp our immigration system because I know it firsthand. I also know how important it is to know about America. To become a citizen of this country, you have to take a test. And I often look at the people who are in Congress and I'm like, dude, you couldn't pass that test I had to pass, by the way. You have no idea how this government works. And so ultimately it came down, I started this project to tell people how government works. It was actually after the first, the second Obama midterms. And I was really upset because we'd lost the Senate and I knew we weren't going to get anything passed anymore. And it turned out McConnell did say he was the Grim Reaper and nothing was going to get past him. And I was talking to people at my son's school and no one cared. I mean, no one. Most people hadn't voted. They did not think it mattered. It was a midterm election. And they were like, Lee, oh my God, who cares? You know, like it's always going to be the same. It doesn't matter. And I thought, oh dear, if these people who have all the access to the information, who have all the access to education and they have time on their hands, if they're not paying attention, what happens to all the other people who don't have this kind of time, who don't have the background in education, who don't have, you know, the access to this stuff? Well, how are they going to be involved in the political process? And I thought, you know what? I don't think it's just that people don't care. I think it's that they don't understand it. So they check out. When you don't understand something, you check out. And I thought, you know what? Let's just dial people back in. Maybe it's just information that they need. So I started literally online civics on YouTube in my playroom. Like you see me in my kitchen now, but I was in my playroom and I was explaining the Supreme Court and why we do the caucuses in Iowa and what a caucus is, that kind of thing. Right. And then all of a sudden here comes Trump and my very apolitical, you know, civics pretty quickly became like, dear God, we're not going to really do this, are we? And it became a little bit more opinionated. And those ones really took off. And then when we were coming up on that 2020 election, I thought, well, I'm trapped at home. We're in the pandemic. And I was literally following my husband around the house, ranting at him. And he was like, my love, I love the energy, but you got to put it somewhere else. And I was like, where am I supposed to put it? He was like, I don't know. TikTok. And I thought, I'm not a dancing teenager. And he was like, please, somewhere other than me, if you want to retain this marriage. And so I was like, all right. So I put the phone down in the kitchen because that's where I happened to be standing when I was talking to Sean and it was right at my level. And I started talking to that. And the amount of people who responded to just sort of common sense way of looking at things, right? They were like, that's exactly it. I was able to kind of put into words what people were thinking. Or I was thinking what people couldn't quite put into words. And like I said, I'm not always coming from a left side or a right side. Right now, I think there is a very distinct way we need to be thinking it. And it does lean more left because the right has gone so bananas.
Right.
But I do think that at the end of the day, it's about common sense. It's about the most people succeeding. It's about the most amount of Americans making it the country that we promised the world we are and that we aren't actually living up to.
Right. That's really what I captured from my first gleaning of your conversation with folks. It was natural. It was unforced. It was basically a mom having a conversation with the kids saying, you know what? Okay, I'm just tired of your crap. Let's get this together, right?
Yeah.
And it resonated and still resonates with people in a way that I think just lends itself to just the authenticity of the moment, and people, regardless of their political landing, you know, the hard-nosed Trumpers, you're not their cup of tea, and you're probably not the cup of tea for even some of the hardcore progressives out there. But that's okay because the rest of us need it, and it's the cup of tea that we want to go with our scones, you know, and it works. You mentioned the Democrats and being a Democrat, and you've probably heard me, and I think we talked a little bit about it on your podcast. I just find the Democratic Party to be wholly inept right now politically. As I said to a number of my Democratic friends, I don't know how the hell we ever lost to you guys, to tell you the truth. I don't know how that was not my issue. I won my elections, but the rest of, I don't know how the other Republican chairman and candidates lost to Democrats, since you're so politically tone deaf to what the country is saying and what your political opponents are doing to feed a narrative and a stream of thought that is corrosive, divisive, and at its core un-American. What do you think Democrats are doing that may be working? And what do you think they're doing that absolutely is off the rails, batshit stupid, in light of the realities that we see with not just Trump the person, but Trumpism, MAGA Republicanism, that is now running school boards, running state legislatures, political parties, boards of election?
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like you said, I'm not the far left's cup of tea and I'm not the far right's cup of tea. But one of the things that I think is interesting is there's the people that think I work for the Democrats, right? They're like, oh, she's a Democratic shill. I'm not. I criticize the Democrats all the time because ultimately I want them to do better, right? Like I challenge them to do better. And I would say what's not working is that we are terrible by nature, terrible messengers. I have never seen, I always say that if this catchphrase was Coke is it, and the Democrats had written it, it would have been like, Pepsi isn't it, because there's a lot of better options. And the thing is that we have to understand that we're doing it in the best way possible. And then you should probably buy our product, Coke. Right. And you're like, what? Who wrote that? Right. Like, you're just, it's like, it's embarrassing. You know, the fact that your party for years took pro-life as a mantle.
Yeah.
What a stroke of genius. What are you, if you're the opposite of pro-life, what are you, pro-death? You know, like we just got slandered with it for years. You know, like, it's, Democrats have all these great ideas, and yet it doesn't matter how great your ideas are if you cannot sell them to the people. It doesn't matter if you're doing the right thing if no one knows you're doing it. So the thing that I would say that we're terrible at is we could be a little cockier. We could be far better messengers. Like, if you look at what's actually happening right now, what the actual real situation is with the Democrats right now, that's working. What Joe Biden is actually doing right now is working, right? Like, people clearly don't realize how critical I am of my own party, but I'm also critical of what I call static politics, right? At the end of the day, I'm a liberal, but I think that we need to be evolving. We need growth. We need movement. And I believe in human rights and human worth. And I believe that government can be a force for good in the world, right?
Now, can I put a pin right there? Because as a conservative, I'd agree with everything you just said. You know, I believe in the value of life, at all levels, in all spectrums. Again, why I don't support the death penalty, because I'm pro-life, right? So, but to your point about, you know, these things where people are supposed to disagree because you're, quote, a liberal or a conservative or you're a Republican or a Democrat, what we find in actuality is people don't viscerally disagree. Right. And as a conservative, I don't viscerally disagree with what you just said, that I'm not an, you know, I'm not an anti-government Republican. I'm a small government Republican. I think government is a useful tool to provide the appropriate protections for defense and national security, but also the appropriate protections for the safety net for the more vulnerable in our communities. And as citizens, we all have a relationship with that.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Facepalm America is a show for progressives and others on the left who want to keep up with the ridiculousness that this country dishes out, find out what cable news misses when they're waiting for Trump to appear at a podium, and also, every once in a while, get a laugh at how silly this hot mess of a nation of ours really is. If that's you, listen to Facepalm America. You can go to facepalmamerica.com or find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.